Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our worship here at Faith. It's good to have you with us here this morning. And okay, what's this guy doing in purple this morning? Well, I thought I'd come out here at least for a few minutes dressed like this. This is LWML Sunday, and one of their key colors has always been purple. I've got my LWML tie on underneath this, but I thought this would be a good way to make sure that we're honoring what is going to be taking place today. The ladies of our Ladies Guild are going to be participating in certain parts of our service today. But ready or not, here is October. And with October is going to come a lot of exciting things. Between the services today, Pastor Steinke's back with us. He is, and he's going to be leading us all month between the services in a special Reformation Bible study. Hopefully you're looking forward to that. It's going to be something very, very special. But as we're at the beginning of October, October is going to end now. Just 4 weeks from today, if all goes well, the weather and so forth, we're going to be having our next 60th anniversary celebration will be a five-church celebration of Reformation, of the 500th anniversary of the Reformation over in Sims Park. Right now, our schedule is that we're going to be having a hymn sing, song sing, whatever you want to call it, about 11 o'clock. And then we'll start worship about 11:15, and we'll have dinner about 12:30. We have got in the narthex. We've got some sign-up sheets for, because we've got all kinds of things that we need to do for that. And it is clear that somehow those things, if they're going to get done, are going to have to fall to us. But we will make sure that we get as many of those done as we can. Whether you're going to be a part of any of those committees that help us that day or not, we're setting out a challenge to everybody. In your bulletins this morning is a special insert regarding flood buckets. Through the month of October now, we are going to be kind of putting this challenge before our people. We're going to take some time late in the month to assemble these flood buckets. And then, obviously, there's a couple things that are listed on the list of ingredients, like brooms and mops. Obviously, that won't fit inside of a bucket, but it is something that we will need along with that. Now, whether you want to just take everything that's on this list and prepare one bucket or two buckets or whatever it is that you want to do. And by the way, the buckets have to have lids on them. You can get buckets with lids usually at either Lowe's or Home Depot. But whether you just prepare a few buckets with everything in it, or you just pick a couple of these ingredients and bring as much as you can so that, you know, we've got some of these and some of these, and then we can put the kits together later on in a month. We are going to be dedicating all those flood buckets as a part of Reformation 500. We've laid out that same challenge to our other five churches because, and while some of them had wanted to start some other flood bucket things, they really hadn't gotten underway yet. And all the churches really like this idea. So hopefully we're going to have a bunch of flood buckets. And we've got a way that we can deal with where they're going to go and how they're going to get there once we're done with that service. But help us with that through the month. Make sure that you have these with you because this is exactly, don't worry about the tag that's on the bucket. We will take care of all of that. And then, of course, as we begin here in the next weeks to come, because today is the, you know, Sunday is the 1st of October, through the month now, we have gone back on Saturday night to First and Third Communion, but it still is going to be doing like it's done the last several months, because when the first of the month falls on a Sunday, when we have communion at 8 like we do this morning, that's the only time we have it that weekend. And then next weekend and 2 weeks after that, at 11 o'clock service and at the 5 p.m. service. It'll go back to whatever normal is sometime next month. We do have a couple of our committee meetings tomorrow night there as we move into October. A lot of stuff is going to be happening, so please remember that. And then we're going to be having our fellowship. The second Sunday of the month is already next week, so we look forward to being able to do that. We want to remember in our prayers for this morning, Larry de Blasi, he is going to be undergoing some health concerns again here, again, in the months to come. We've had him on our prayer list a couple times, and we need to keep him in our prayers. And so, by all means, let's make sure that we do that here this morning. Friends, baptized into the name of the Lord, we begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father together. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you. We pray this prayer together. Almighty and gracious Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit on your faithful people, making us ready to confess Jesus. Keep us steadfast in your grace and truth. Protect and deliver us in times of temptation. Defend us against all enemies, and grant to your church your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The lessons from Holy Scripture have been selected for the theme for the LWML Sunday, Be Ready to Confess Jesus. The Old Testament reading is found in 1 Kings, the 8th chapter. Not one word has failed of all of God's good promise. Now, as Solomon finished offering all this prayer and plea to the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord where he had knelt with hands outstretched toward heaven. And he stood and blessed all the assembly of Israel with a loud voice, saying, Blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel according to all that he promised. Not one word has failed of all his good promise, which he spoke by Moses his servant. The Lord our God be with us, as he was with our fathers. May he not leave us or forsake us, that he may incline our hearts to him, to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his rules, which he commanded our fathers. Let these words of mine, with which I have pleaded before the Lord, be near to the Lord our God day and night, and may he maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel, as each day requires, that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God, there is no other. Let your heart, therefore, be wholly true to the Lord our God, walking in his statutes and keeping his commandments as at this day. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle lesson is in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. Be ready with God's word in season and out of season. St. Paul writes, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please stand as a sign of resurrection hope, as you are able. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 10th chapter. What you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. Jesus said, have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light. And what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. This is the gospel of our Lord. God's grace, mercy, and peace rest within us and goes forth from us as we are ready as God's children, as the people who with faith in our heart are ready to share that faith, being ready to confess Jesus. My text for this morning is that second lesson, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Friends, unfortunately for me, one of the things that fall represents, whether it does to any of the other gentlemen who have become pastors, fall for me represents a time of real sadness, sorrow, tragedy. For whatever reason, it seems like I have had to do through my years as many funerals in fall as the other three seasons combined, and almost all of the real tragedies that I've had to help families with in life have happened in the fall. Now, not much good in a worldly sense seems to ever come out of death. But there are two incredibly wonderful things that come forth from death. One obviously is life eternal. How it is that while it will always hurt to lose someone, a friend, someone we were close to, someone we loved, someone that we had a lot of memories with, and we miss those. But we rejoice that they are in heaven and one day we will join them. But there is a second thing that comes forth, and if I can give you a hint of what it is, set aside for a moment the concept of just human death. And think about it for a moment. What good comes out of death? We have a name for it. We call it the harvest. And if there is something that, maybe not so much in Florida, but amongst certain things, yes, right now is the time in many parts of our country where it is rich right now amongst the harvest, but that can only happen when whatever it is, the crop or whatever, begins to die. We see it as changing colors, drying down so it can be harvested, but make no mistake about it, it has to die. But from that death comes an abundant harvest. An abundant harvest that produces more than we could have ever have imagined. In the not too distant past, when I lost a very good friend of mine who was always one of those people that was ring the bell and do whatever else he had to do at the 8 o'clock service. Whatever would happen, if I would talk to him in the fall, one of the things he always had to tell me was how abundant his harvest had been. And he hadn't been harvesting himself in years, but even the people that came by were able to tell him to the tenth of a bushel how much he had been making And he was very proud of being able to have an abundant harvest. Well, friends, we live in a world where it seems like hearts are not willing to set aside whatever it is that they need to do because that's what has to happen. We look at the Reformation as something that came alive. But realistically, if it was going to happen, if the ability to confess Christ and understand who this Christ was that they were confessing was ever going to return, something had to die. We had to be willing to set aside everything else that would get in its way so that our hearts would die to the world and to all of its distractions and to the things that it claimed that was important, that we may live only for Christ. When St. Paul wrote those words to Timothy, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in this kingdom, to preach the word, to be ready both in season and out of season." Right now, this is the season of death and the season of harvest, so that we can, with God's word, reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. Paul wrote those words knowing full well that challenges that faced preachers of the gospel in the setting of the early church were numerous. But he also knew that Timothy had come to the faith through the faithful teaching of both a committed mother and a committed grandmother. And how nice that is when we are able to say the same thing. The good news of the gospel is ready to spring an abundant harvest to each of us to share with those whom God places in our sphere of influence. And that's regardless of our station in life. Proclaiming the salvation that is won by Jesus is not just the job of a person who has been called by a congregation or a certain committee that's been given that title, or whatever title it is that they come up with. We all must be ready to confess Christ, because he's going to open the doors for us, and we have to be ready. There were a lot of things that, unfortunately, in Martin Luther's day, were alive and well. For example, the relationship between the church and the government, where the church could threaten you by having you removed from the fellowship of the congregation in something called excommunication, and oh, if that wasn't enough, let's use the might of the government, who could actually throw you in jail, who could make absolutely certain that if, well, somebody were to, shall we say, deal with Martin Luther, no questions will be asked. All of that needed to be put to death so that people could see, because if that weren't enough, the only way we're going to confess Christ is to know who he really is. And the only way we're going to know who he really is to find out what the scriptures really say. Few people back then really knew or read or understood the Bible, but we need to today. Because the need for sharing Christ is as pronounced as it has ever been. While it is true that somewhere around 90% of Americans claim that they believe in some entity called God, their understanding of the one true God is way too often far less than what the Bible describes him as. Add to the fact that upwards of 60% of Christians that are considered evangelical think that there may be other ways to salvation outside of faith in Jesus. Friends, certain things are going to have to die before we can bring to life what came forth in the Reformation. Now, you listen to Paul's words as he was writing to Timothy, and it almost sounds more like somebody snuck a note to you this morning. And you unfold it and you open it up, and this is what it says. The time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Preachers telling them what their itching ears want to hear. Not what they need to hear, but what somehow will fill them with whatever it is that is standing in the way of receiving the gospel. Friends, God calls us always to be ready to confess the gospel, always to be ready to do the things that need to be done. And which brings us to an organization called the Lutheran Women's Missionary League. This year they're celebrating their 75th anniversary, and we've actually gone past the actual anniversary dates, which was July 7th and 8th. Now, if you can kind of do math in your head, go back from 2017, 75 years, and it puts us in the year 1942. Do we remember? I wasn't alive in 1942, but I don't need to have been alive to have studied over and over again what was going on then. In the middle of 1942, the world had been at war. We had been cast into it late in 1941. And in a matter of little more than 24 hours, we had two enemies that had declared war amongst us on different ends of the world. Rations were short. Many people had been called away, the men, young and some not so young, to the war effort. And now women were being asked to enter the workforce to fill the vacancies left by the new soldiers. The circumstances were challenging, to say the least. And yet, on those 2 days of July 7th and 8th of that year, over 100 women, including 28 formal delegates, met in Chicago. And they formed an organization called the Lutheran Women's Missionary League. Its purpose was as follows: to encourage a greater consciousness among women for missionary education, missionary inspiration, and missionary service. It also decided to gather funds for mission projects above and beyond the budget of the Synod. And from this humble beginning and through the use of the now familiar mite boxes, the League has blessed the mission efforts of congregations, districts, and synod in amazingly powerful ways. Indeed, where would we be without that group of women who have been ready through the generations to confess Christ, to sacrifice, to put to death whatever it is that they needed to so that Christ could come alive with an abundant harvest inside of each of them. Friends, what I just shared with you was a quote from the person that wrote the heart of today's message. He's the president of our Concordia Theological Seminary in one of our two seminaries, the one in Fort Wayne, Indiana. But in terms of how we're supposed to confess Christ, oh, yes, we can gather together in groups and in guilds as we have even at this church, putting forth efforts that are going to aid the community as we have been doing. And you go to some conferences halfway across the state and you share a little bit about what we've been doing, and suddenly a lot of churches are asking, exactly how is it that somebody came up with the idea of doing, well, three or four of the things that we've been doing here? Friends, we have always been ready to confess Christ, but we must continue to do so. And I know, for some of us, that's not the things that we do best. The president of the other seminary, the one in St. Louis, Dr. Dale Meyer, when he was Lutheran Hour speaker, spoke once about the first time that he tried to confess Christ to someone he knew he didn't know. He said, we were never far from the rundown portions of the inner city of St. Louis. And in the midst of me being a young vicar who was vicaring not far from the seminary, I wanted the chance to confess Christ, he said. So I picked out a rundown old apartment building, one that looked like it should have been condemned years ago, but one I was quite sure that there were people living in it. I decided to go up to the second floor and picked a random door and knocked on it. Sure enough, a lady answered the door, and I began to say to her, I would like to be able to show you how much Jesus Christ loves you. And she immediately slammed the door. I thought about it for a moment because that was not the way that I was told confessing Christ was supposed to go. I started walking slowly back towards the steps, but before I got to the first step to make my way back down the stairs, I decided to ponder a little bit about what I had just seen. The woman was holding a baby. When the door opened, the strong smell of cigarette smoke came out very quickly. And I somehow quickly noticed that behind her were some empty containers, an empty jar of peanut butter, an empty baby food jar, and something else that I couldn't make out. So I thought about it and decided maybe I can help. So I went down the street to a store. Again, something that looked like it should have been condemned long ago, but was clearly a place that people would go to get the things that they needed. And I picked up a package of diapers. I was actually able to identify to the owner of the store who this person was so that he could match a carton of cigarettes for her. And then I purchased a jar of peanut butter, some baby food, a loaf of bread, and a gallon of milk. They all got placed into a grocery bag, and I worked my way back to that apartment. I knocked on the door again, and as the door was opening up, I placed the bag on the floor and just slid it into the door, into the other side of the door with my foot, and then started to walk away. For a moment, nothing was said, but just as, again, I was reaching the stairs and getting ready to descend down the stairs, presumably for the last time, this time I heard her voice. And she called out, "Sir," and I turned around and realized that she was talking to me. I went back and she said, "You said to me that you wanted to talk to me about Jesus Christ." So I took the opportunity to tell her who Jesus was and how much Jesus cared about her. And I even pointed a couple of times to the bag of groceries on the floor and said, "I didn't get this for you because I looked at you any different than anybody else, but I wanted you to know that because Jesus loves you and I saw the need, I want you to have these." After listening to a little while to my description of who Jesus was to her, she said, "Look, I don't know what's going to happen. Would you please pray that I get out of this situation?" Friends, the first time Dale Meyer told that story in one of his Lutheran Hour speeches, the speech ended there. Some years later, this Dr. Meyer that now became, as I said, the president of the St. Louis Seminary, shared another story, and it goes as follows. One day, my secretary, in a most urgent way, even though I was extremely busy, said that there is someone who really needs to see me. Having gotten such requests before, I asked her, I said, "What is with this person here?" She simply said, "Trust me, you want to meet this person." In walked a young lady that clearly I had never met before. She was fairly well-dressed, but she had with her graduation gown, her diploma, and something else that was in her hand. So I asked if I could help her and if I knew who she was, and she said, "Well, I can tell you this, I don't know who you are, but my mom did. And my mom told me about the story of what you did for her once. She recognized your face once on something that was associated with a radio program and then found out later that you were now here. And I wanted you to know that I am that daughter that she held in her arms. I've just graduated from college and have received a job offer to a large firm on the East Coast, and she feels like we owe it all to you. After putting a smile on my face, I reminded her that, you know, I came to her simply to confess Christ, and I'm going to do the same. If we have someone to thank, let's make sure that we thank Jesus, and then if that means something to you, you confess Jesus. Friends, time marches on, as we all know so well, and it seems that as we age, it marches at even faster than it always does. The Lutheran confession has always struggled against the intrusion of false teaching, but the Lord has raised up faithful people, such as those in the Lutheran Women's Missionary League. He has gathered them who have carried out the task of the Lord with zeal, with devotion, meeting the challenges and opportunities to reach out to those who need to hear the gospel. Simply put, our faithful God keeps his promises. We pray today that he will always enable us to be ready to confess, to put to death what stands in its way, to allow the abundant harvest of the word of God that gives to us salvation, the forgiveness of sins and life everlasting, to come in ways stronger, reaching more people and more abundantly than we could have ever imagined. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. And so at this time, my friends, we confess our Christian faith to the words of the Apostles' Creed. It is on the screen. Please stand as we confess together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We receive our offerings. You may be seated. We have a couple of things this morning on behalf of our Lutheran Women's Missionary League this morning. And what we have right now is a short video that gives a quick description of the LWML at 75.
Where each woman is welcomed and encouraged to use her God-given gifts as she supports global missions and serves the Lord with gladness. Rooted in God's Word, living out our response to God's grace through mission, service, and fellowship with other women, working together within the beautiful diversity that is the body of Christ. Over 100 million in mites in 43 countries since 1942. Through mission offerings used to gather funds in support of worldwide ministries. Lutheran Women in Mission, to all the people in the world.
Friends, we lift up our hearts to the Lord as we bow our heads in prayer. O God, our Father, you are our rock, our fortress, our joy, our salvation, our light, our life, our sun, our shield, always ready to hear those who come before you. So hear us as we come before you with our prayers and praise. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For calling us by your Spirit to faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, for setting aside that which would prevent an abundant harvest to come forth as we share the good news of the gospel once hidden but now made known through the Scriptures. Continue your blessings of Holy Scripture to us as we continue to read, mark, and inwardly digest and filling us with the fruits of faith. Make us living letters that speak of Jesus Christ. The people around us may read of your mercy, the saving power in human lives. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For your grace in calling us to be workers in your vineyard, we ask you to bless the work of the Lutheran Women's Missionary League, including in our Ladies Guild, the work that's being done, the congregational, circuit, district, synod, and international level, in which we give on behalf of your name. Make us joyful in obedience to your call, ready to accept every service, eager to perform every duty well, strong to do every task faithfully, making us patient and willing even when we must bear the burden of opposition and difficult service in your kingdom. Give us joy in all who come to join in your service, grace to welcome them as warmly as we greet one another. As brothers and sisters in Christ, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Be with us, dear Father, in all that we do, in our daily work, strengthen and direct us. In our leisure, protect us. In our homes, shelter us. In our travels, guide us. In our problems, teach us. In our afflictions, shield us. In our sorrows, comfort us. In our prayers, hear us. And in our worship, lift up our spirits to you. We pray on behalf of Larry de Blasio. Now we lift up our hearts to you on behalf of someone in our own life that we now name before you silently, in the privacy of our own hearts. Accept all that we bring before you, O Lord, and to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, be all glory and praise forever and ever, as your Son has taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The words of our Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. In place of the usual closing prayer, we have got a special responsive LWML League pledge and benediction with a prayer interspersed in between. Please stand as we conclude with this. It's on page 8 in our service folders. You may follow along on the screen. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. In fervent gratitude for the Savior's dying love and his blood-bought gift of redemption, we dedicate ourselves to him with all that we are and have. God has entrusted to his people the task of teaching all nations. We thank him for the 75 years he has blessed the work of the Lutheran Women's Missionary League. And in obedience to his call for workers in the harvest fields, we pledge him our willing service wherever and whenever he has need of us, that the joyous truth of the gospel may be known in every generation. We consecrate to our Savior our hands to work for Him, our feet to go on His errands, our voice to sing His praises, our lips to proclaim His redeeming love, our silver and our gold to extend His kingdom, our will to do His will, and every power of our life. Lord, we are mindful of the shortness of time and uncertainties of life. Preserve our faithfulness and strengthen us for service in our communities and throughout the world. To the great task of bringing the lost and erring into eternal fellowship with Him. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Friends, I want to thank you for being a part of our worship. Before we close, I don't often do this, but when we get a chance, I want to make sure that every once in a while we just take a moment to recognize a couple of special days, especially since these two were sitting in the same row. Tomorrow is Kathy's birthday, Kathy Butler. So, but today is Frida's birthday, so we're going to shoo her back out here. Where is she? She's in back. There you are. You're back there. I thought you were up here in front. Well, there you are, and we want to make sure that we honor a couple special birthdays today. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Frida and Kathy. Happy birthday to you. And God's blessings, and thank you so very much for... I know I didn't prepare you for that, but you were good sports about it. Appreciate it. Friends, again, always be prepared to confess Christ. Go in peace and serve the Lord.